You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. It was an outstanding conclusion to the Mets series in Cincinnati on Wednesday as Marcus Stroman pitched a gem. Shocking to see a starting pitcher for the Mets go deep into a game, but Stroman did just that, proving to once again be the most steady contributor out of the Mets rotation this year. Going to talk about that in the first segment today. Then in the second segment, going to talk about the Mets offense has started to come together in the second half and how they could carry this team throughout these final months of the season. Then finally in the third segment, we'll talk about some roster moves as the Mets traded Billy McKinney today to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Actually got a little bit of an interesting prospect back in that deal. And of course, there was more injury list maneuvering and 40-man maneuvering on the Mets roster. So we will get to all of that. But before we do, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. Or you can also follow the show at LockedOnMets. Marcus Stroman hit the leadoff batter in today's game, Jonathan India, but he quickly erased him by turning a double play on a soft comebacker. He then gave up a leadoff single in the third inning before retiring the next 14 consecutive batters he faced. He retired 18 of the last 19 batters he faced, issuing a walk to Joey Votto in the seventh inning. Only three base runners allowed in eight shutout innings for Marcus Stroman. The Mets got three home runs in this game. Jonathan Villar hit a solo shot in the second inning. Dominic Smith hit a grand slam in the third, and then Louis Guillorme hit his first homer of the season, a two-run shot in the fifth, and the Mets were able to cruise to the 7-0 victory. And to dive a little bit deeper into Marcus Stroman's performance in this game, this was vintage. That sinker was working. He got 9 groundouts, had 7 strikeouts. His slider was far better today than it's been in the past. He said after the game he fixed his grip on that pitch and saw some great results. The whiff rate on the slider today was 73%. The Reds could not touch that pitch. And when he has the sinker working and the slider working, I mean, Marcus Stroman is one of the most effective pitchers in baseball, really able to get ahead early in counts, able to get those groundouts, able to pick up some strikeouts. Overall, he threw 90 pitches, 60 of them for strikes. Stroman lowered his ERA on the season to 2.59 after this start. And you look at the numbers overall, you can make the argument he's been the most important pitcher in this Mets rotation because of Jacob deGrom and the health issues and the fact that he's been in and out of the rotation. Marcus Stroman, far and away leading this pitching staff with 111 and a third innings pitch. No one else has crossed over that century mark this season. You got Stroman now in second when it comes to starters with his 2.59 ERA, his 93 strikeouts, his 1.08 whip, his 2.1 walk per nine. All those stats aren't quite as good as the best pitcher on the planet, but those are ace level stats. He has made 20 starts, 11 of them have been quality starts. He's been everything this team has needed, taking the ball every fifth day and giving them a lot of chances to win. You look at what he's done over his last couple of starts, and yeah, it wasn't as good as what you were expecting in July. He had a bad outing against the Yankees where he gave up 3 runs over 5 innings. Another one against the Pirates where he gave up 3 runs over 5 innings. Comes out of the break, only makes it through 5 again, gives up 2 runs. So 8 runs allowed over 15 innings pitched, a 4.80 ERA. But then you have this start factored in, 8 innings without allowing a run, and his ERA for July is 3.13. Dating back to May 16th. Marcus Stroman had a start against the Rays where he gave up 5 earned runs. Since then, 12 starts, has not allowed more than 3 earned runs in any of his starts. So there's been a lot of talk about Stroman kind of regressing back to the mean. He's not a frontline starter. We've heard a lot of this, where maybe the Mets need to go out and get a Jose Berrios or somebody else, because Marcus Stroman is not a top two, top three guy in the starting rotation. I don't know what you've been watching, but a 2.59 ERA for the season. You go out against a team in the Reds in a hitters-friendly ballpark, and you shut them down through eight innings. I think Marcus Stroman is just fine to be the number two starter on this team, or number three, however you want to slate these guys. Taijuan Walker obviously needs to bounce back after a disaster of a start, but there's still some really good starting pitching on this team. I'm more concerned about depth than the quality at the front end of the rotation. Carlos Carrasco, Jacob DeGrom, they return to form. They're healthy for the final couple months of this season, and you continue to get what you've gotten this season from Stroman and Walker, who have been the constants. The Mets are going to be okay, and you even factor in Tyler McGill has been very good as well. So this was just another example of Marcus Stroman stepping up for this team. You had a bullpen that was completely taxed. On yesterday's show, I talked about it. After the Taijuan Walker one-out start, they basically covered three full games with just bullpen arms and guys coming in and out from Syracuse. They needed one of these games where all of your high-leverage arms could just sit back and watch. Dries Familia did pitch in the ninth inning because there was no need to push Marcus Stroman out there, even though he could have gotten that complete game. Now, maybe he comes back, pitches one of the games in the doubleheader on Monday on normal rest. That is a good idea at this point, as opposed to what the Mets were planning, which was Robert Stock and Anthony Banda. Maybe it's Banda and Stroman, which essentially is Stroman in a bullpen game in a doubleheader. We've seen the Mets use that strategy in the past. But Marcus Stroman goes out against the Cincinnati Reds, wins the rubber match. As I said, coming into this series, if you got to a situation where it was Marcus Stroman versus Hoffman to win you a series in Cincinnati on the road, you would have taken it. The Mets end this road trip 3-3, a 500 record. Could they have done better? Absolutely. They should have won more than one game in Pittsburgh, but they're able to salvage that game after a disastrous start to that series and a start to that game. They win that final game. They go to Cincinnati. They win 2 of 3. You take it. The Mets have to be better. They know that, but they now have an off day to regroup. You play a really good team in the Blue Jays at home, and then you got the Braves coming in for 5. Going to be a very tough set of games over the next week here, but the Mets had to feel a lot better about themselves today than they did after Saturday's fiasco where they blew that 6-run lead. Now, one thing that has been great since the Mets came out of the All-Star break, their offense is really starting to come together. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is a tobacco-free long cut pouch that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to, but without the tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Dip has been associated with the game of baseball for as long as I can remember. I had so many friends that started dipping on the baseball diamond, and then it became a staple of their everyday life. Now I recommend Fully Loaded Chew to them because it tastes and feels like traditional smokeless products, which makes it an easy transition away from those tobacco products, which are worse for your health. This is the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded Chew. And if you want to try Fully Loaded Chew today, go to FullyLoadedChew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your first can for just $1 with free shipping. That's right. Right now, you could try a can for just $1 with free shipping by going to www.fullyloadedchew.com and using the promo code LOCKEDON. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew at FullyLoadedChew.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and then choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. During the first half of the season, the Mets' identity surrounded their pitching. They were trying to get two or three runs across and then just hold the other team down because there was no hope in getting a lot of offense when you had a collection of Brandon Drury and Billy McKinney and all of these guys come in. And you know what? The Mets did a great job finding ways to win. They got themselves into first place. They've held on to that. But I think the identity could be shifting in the second half. The Mets are averaging 6.67 runs per game, the sixth most in baseball since the All-Star break, as opposed to the first half of the season where they were continually in the bottom of those rankings when it comes to runs per game. A lot of times 29th when it comes to runs per game. Now suddenly they're in the top 10, and I think they have some staying power in that top 10 because their guys are healthy and they're starting to produce. This month, Dominic Smith is hitting .291 with a .355 on base percentage and a .582 slugging percentage, has 4 home runs, 4 doubles, 10 RBIs, which is obviously helped by a grand slam today. He's scored 13 runs. You have Jeff McNeil on a 10-game hitting streak. Michael Conforto has gone 0-for-9 in his last two games, but in the first four out of the break, he was 6-for-17 with 3 home runs and 2 doubles, 5 RBIs, 4 runs scored. Even as he's had these offers, he's still hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball on a line. He looks like himself. And the Mets did not have that in the first half. When he was healthy, he wasn't good. And suddenly, you have a healthy Conforto, you have a healthy Jeff McNeil. They're producing. That makes your lineup look a lot different. Pairing that with Dominic Smith. And then Pete Alonso, a 7-game hitting streak himself right now, has hit safely in 13 of his last 17 games. He hit 6 home runs in June, which is the most he had of any month this season. He's already matched that in July, and he still has 10 games left. So you can imagine Pete Alonso maybe hits 8 or 9 home runs this month. That's more the power production you expect out of a guy like Pete. JD Davis has added an extra layer of pop to this bench or to the starting lineup. He had a 2 home run game the other day. You had Jonathan Villar hit a home run today. He continues to contribute. And then you have Luis Guillorme. He's hitting .357 this month, a .419 on base percentage, a .536 slugging percentage in July. For the season, he's in .299 with a .419 on base percentage, a .361 slugging percentage. You can just see all of these pieces start to come together, and the Mets are becoming the team we expected them to be on opening day. If you go to my preseason podcast, it was, all right, I have complete confidence in this lineup. I think the starting rotation will be good. I have no idea what's going on with the bullpen. That was probably the way I was grading out this team. Now you look at what they have. The pitching has carried them up to this point, but it's flipped on its head. You have no idea with your depth if you're going to be able to get 2 or 3 quality starts strung together because you just don't know who's even taking the ball. The bullpen is good, but taxed, and it's this lineup. And with that, you have to change the way you play, and you have to think about how you can win with this team. They can outslug other teams, but you can't put them in this massive hole. And that's why I continue to preach this idea of acquiring a pitcher like Tyler Anderson, because you just need to get some starting pitchers that might even give up 4 runs, but it'll get you through 6 because you need your high leverage arms to not be taxed with pitching multiple innings time and again to cover up from your bad starting pitchers. That's what you need right now. You need to win based on the strength of your lineup and your bullpen until that rotation can be, you know, full strength ahead with DeGrom and Carrasco eventually factoring in. Now, Jacob DeGrom is throwing again, so that's a good sign. He was at Citi Field, seen thrown in the outfield there. Not sure exactly when his return will be, but it sounds like he is going to be back at some point soon. They aren't as concerned as they maybe were a couple of days ago with this injury. It's the same situation where it's a waiting game. You got to see how he feels, but that forearm is feeling better. So hopefully you get your ace back soon, and that will change things, you know, exponentially. But for now, with the team that they currently have, it might have to be more of an offensive team that wins based on the strength of their bats. And I think the Mets are capable of doing just that. You just can't put them in really bad spots with Robert Stocks and Anthony Banda getting starts. But right now, that's where they are. Now, in just a minute, going to talk about the latest trade as Billy McKinney is now a Dodger. So we'll go through that and some of the other roster moves the Mets made on Wednesday. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I host my Spotify Green Rooms on Wednesdays, where you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Go download the free Green Room app now, which is currently available on all devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates, and follow me at Finkelstein Ryan to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. Again, I go live on Wednesdays, usually during game time at 7 or 8 o'clock. So I can't wait to hear from everyone then about the Mets. I'll see you there. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So Billy McKinney is no longer a New York Met. What a great journey Billy McKinney had. Comes up, looks like Jacob Rehm, but he can hit. Hit 220 for the Mets, 304 on base percentage, 473 slugging percentage, had 5 home runs, 14 RBIs. He scored some big runs, made some nice plays in the outfield. For a moment, you thought maybe this is a guy that has a long future with the Mets. He could be a fourth outfielder for you moving forward. You have him under control for a long time, but there was always one problem. He had no minor league options. And when the Mets got healthy, there was a roster crunch, and they went with Jose Peraza over Billy McKinney. It's really ironic how these things work out, because then a couple days later, Jose Peraza breaks his finger, and McKinney probably could have still been on this team, but the damage was already done. He was DFA'd, which put him out in the open market, and the Dodgers wanted him, and so now there is a trade. But for the Mets, you get a prospect out of Billy McKinney. That is something that I don't think you would have expected when you originally got Billy McKinney from the Brewers. The prospect they get is Carlos Rincon in this deal. Rincon hitting 263 this year with a 343 on base percentage, a 470 slugging percentage, and 63 games played at AA. Had 12 home runs this season, 12 doubles as well. For his minor league career, he has 84 home runs, so you get a bat that's going to turn 24 in October. Might not ever see the big leagues, but he has some pop. He's a prospect. Maybe, if you're lucky, he might slot in at the end of your top 30 list. If not, maybe on the fringes of that. For the Dodgers, he was the 29th ranked prospect, according to Baseball America, going into the 2019 season. Was not ranked in their top 30 going into this season. But it's something. It's an outfielder. The Mets don't have a lot of outfielders that you really like in the upper levels of their farm system. And you'll see what happens. A 470 slugging percentage in AA is nothing to sneeze at. So I think considering the fact that Billy McKinney was only a Met for a short time, to get something out of him is nice instead of losing him for nothing. And I think that this really is good for where the Mets are going this season when it comes to managing their roster. Billy McKinney was not going to be a fit. I understand why a lot of fans liked him, but it made sense to DFA him at the time. And now he's basically replaced by Travis Blankenhorn. And Blankenhorn kind of makes more sense for this team because he has all that control, all those options, still has 2 minor league options. So you can send him up and down and shuttle him back and forth whenever you need him. But he has pop, just like McKinney, guys that are kind of all or nothing. And he also maybe has a little bit more upside because he doesn't have as much exposure at the big league level, where you see that, you know, for McKinney's career, he just has not been great. Travis Blankenhorn, a little bit more of an unknown. And the pop is legit. In 13 games with Syracuse, he's hitting 270 with a 429 on base percentage and a 676 slugging percentage. Had 4 home runs and 3 doubles and 14 RBIs. With the Mets this year, already has two doubles and a home run in 13 at-bats. So I like Blankenhorn. He can play left field, can play second base. Good option for them right now. And the best part is, like I said, he has those options. So once you do get, whether it's Peraza back, whether it is making a deal, there's no problem to put him in AAA. And we'll see where Blankenhorn is with the Mets next season. But for now, I think he's a good fit. I don't think the Mets are really going to miss Billy McKinney too much. And you got this prospect in Rincon that may turn into something. We'll see what happens. Now, before the game today, Blankenhorn was not the only one recalled from Syracuse as Nick Tropiano came back. The Mets continue to shuffle different arms back and forth. Jeff Hartlieb was optioned. Maybe we'll see him in 2 days, the way things are going. Robert Stock hit the IL with that hamstring injury. And the Mets also claimed Royel Ramirez off of waivers from the Cardinals. Now, are you going to be excited about this guy? He has an 81 ERA this year. 3 earned runs, only recorded 1 out. And here is the fun part. Last year, he also had an ERA of 81, gave up 6 runs, and only got 2 outs. So that's the average. He'll get you an out, but he'll give up 3 runs to do so. I think that's a really nice option for the Mets. But anyway, it's just another arm. That's what this is. Goes to Syracuse, another guy they can call on when two more guys get hurt or two more guys get burned out in one of these games. Maybe we'll see him, maybe we won't. That is the status with Royel Ramirez here. But the Mets right now have an off day to take a deep breath, look up, see what are they going to do, how are they going to get through this next series. But the most important series on the horizon is that 5-game set against the Atlanta Braves. And I would hope that they'll get some form of reinforcements from the trade market before they face Atlanta. That's going to be something that I'll continue to stress on tomorrow's show. But for now, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. And if you're going to bet on sports, it does not have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.